There's a whole lot before and a lot after, kind of picking up in verse 10, but that's what I'm going to do. We go through this life in church and have a whole lot of fun, a lot of activities, a lot of baptisms, things like that. But there's a lot of people that may go through this world as Christians, and they don't know the Lord any better now than they did when they were saved. And all that Paul did and all that he represented, the thing that he says in verse 10 is that I may know him. I've talked to a lot of older folks right before they passed, and that was their desire, that I could know Jesus more and more and more. There'll be time for us, won't there? It might be on our back. It might be at home. But don't you have that desire to know him? I do. And there's certain things that Paul's going to teach us that he wanted to know. And they're most important. If the world would understand what they're missing, and they can't because they're not saved, they don't understand, do they? But we're different. We're saved. We're his. Three things this morning in the scriptures that if we made it everything we have to know, we'd leave this place in a good way. And it would affect us so much that it would be easy to talk to people about the Lord. The Bible says in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There's a certain order that Paul teaches us, but there's a growth in these three that if you take them out of order, you won't grow. Knowing God, number one, the power of his resurrection. Jesus came to this world, didn't he? John 1 said that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you imagine that? That's awesome, isn't it? The very God, Jesus' Father, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know a whole lot about them. I'm knowing more as I go. But the power of his, it says, Jesus' resurrection, he had to come and be a man so he could die. That's the only way it could ever be. But there's a power in the resurrection that we need to know and want to know. Jesus came and died and was buried, wasn't he? But there's something happened in 3 days, didn't it? He rose again. Easter's coming up. And that's what we teach every year about Easter, the resurrection. But there's a power in it. Because if Jesus hadn't came and died and rose from the grave, he wouldn't have sent the Comforter, would he? He taught and he taught and he taught that I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You know, the resurrection has to do with judgment, doesn't it? Jesus died and rose again to prove that God was satisfied with his sacrifice. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us, and the resurrection proves that it's all finished, and Jesus did it, didn't he? When we receive God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit in our life, it's finished. Salvation's finished. But the knowledge of understanding that resurrection. There's a lot of folks that lead our country, government officials, that profess and claim to be Christians. And a lot of them, I'm afraid to say most of them, if they knew the power of the resurrection, it would put some fear in them. You know, when we get resurrected, there's going to be a judgment. Jesus has the authority and Jesus has the power. And when you're judged and I'm judged, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. Just like the first song, this passage saying, the crown. some of us are going to be blessed more than others, and that's another message altogether. But God keeps a record. That's another good song, isn't it? My God keeps a record. It's in the red book, isn't it? But the resurrection is good for us. Because all the bodies that we've lived in and all the sufferings that we've had, our body goes back to the dust of the earth. Our spirit goes with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. That's good, isn't it? There's a power in a saved person in the resurrection. And the people that claim, profess, maybe they are, maybe they're not, I don't know. But there's another judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20. And nobody that's lost is going to get away from it. Every man will appear and they'll be judged. And if their name's not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. I thought about that when I was a kid. I still feel strong about it. The people that will be judged, and the Bible calls it a second death because it's eternal, it's forever, it's too late. They were cast by God into the lake of fire. Cast. They didn't want to go. They was holding on, baby. But they're not as powerful as God is. And God opens the books and judges them out of the books. And everybody gets every bit of hell that they deserve, somehow, some way. But he casts them. They're resurrected, aren't they? To meet at that time for that judgment. There's a power in the resurrection, isn't there? There's a good power in that I'm going to have a new body and be with the Lord forever and ever and be with those that's Christians, my family, brothers and sisters and grandchildren, you and me, and we'll all be together forever, won't we? What a power. Power of the resurrection has to come first. That's what we need to know, feel, understand to the point to where it affects us every single day. There's a resurrection coming. We know there's death, don't we? We know there's sickness. We know there's disease. We know there's sin. But there's a power, isn't there, in the resurrection. And then he says, in the fellowship of his sufferings, his resurrection, his sufferings. Isaiah, the Bible says that it bruised. God bruised him and it pleased him. It was God's plan for Jesus to die. Wasn't it? It was God's plan on the cross that the darkness came and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered, didn't he? Separated from his Father to get our sins on him. He suffered on the cross, didn't he? He suffered in the body. He sweat great drops of blood, didn't he? He suffered emotionally. But his sufferings and the power that comes from us, when we understand the resurrection power first, then we can have fellowship of his sufferings because we're going to suffer too. We need to suffer the right way, though, don't we? Not as an evildoer, not as a murderer, as Paul says. Folks suffer, don't they? They suffer in this body. And there's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no explanation of why some people suffer more than others. We watch the TV too on some of those hospital commercials. Devastating cancer, little ones. The military folks that come back, suffering. Like Jesus, people that can fellowship in the suffering of Christ are suffering because they didn't do anything to cause it. It was some other reason, some other way, but they're suffering.
Jesus suffered too, for the same reason, didn't he? There's a fellowship that we need to know that we can have. That Jesus not just knows us and knows about us, but we suffer like he did to a certain extent. Not in the way he did on the cross. No, nothing like that. But to suffer for no reason, no understanding why, is hard, isn't it? Difficult. But nothing's new. Everybody thinks that what's happened to me has never happened to anybody else, but it has, hasn't it? Fellowship is a good word, isn't it? We had a fellowship yesterday. Bubbles everywhere, birthday party. I'd seen that many bubbles in a long time. Tasted a couple. Pretty good. But we have to understand that there's a fellowship, isn't there, that we have with Jesus. Because in this body, in this world, because we're his, we're going to suffer persecution. And that's the only explanation for the bitter hatred that's in the world today. That people would abort babies and bring people in that are rapists and killers and murderers and have a problem with them when they get rid of them. That's just downright evil, wicked hatred, isn't it? And it's getting worse and worse and worse. But I know the Lord. I know there's a power in his resurrection. And when I begin to learn more about the resurrection, I begin to learn about suffering. Because no matter how bad it gets, and how long it lasts, I'm going to be resurrected up out of this place one of these days. And it's going to be all worth it. Won't remember, won't understand, won't matter to me. Because it'll wipe away all the tears from my eyes. No more sickness, no more death. But I can't understand about suffering if I don't let the power of the resurrection get a hold of me. Because we're going to be resurrected one or two places. And the power of heaven to come and knowing Jesus in that power makes the suffering a whole lot easier to bear, doesn't it? And then the third thing, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus knew he was going to die. He willingly and knowingly laid down his life for us, didn't he? When I understand about the power of the resurrection and I realize through the suffering that I have that it's going to be over one day forever, I can be ready to go. I can be ready to lay my life down more every day because it's not going to be long. Jesus did it. Paul did it. I have some family members that did it and that are doing it right now. Being conformed. Notice what it says. His death. His death. His resurrection. His sufferings. We got a chance to be just like Jesus. Some people want to abuse that and mess with it and push so hard that people just have experiences. Have you had an experience at church? I've had people say, we didn't even get to preaching because everything was so good. I said, well, I'm glad I wasn't preaching that day. I'm going to preach. But all these things in order, in the right way, causes us to grow even when it talks about death. Because we know him. Do you know him? He knows us, doesn't he? But do we know him? Do we know what his resurrection means to us? And there's a lot more. We've not covered it. Do we know him in the sufferings that he had? He suffered, didn't he? We can know him more because of our sufferings. When we love him and trust him enough to go to him and understand that Jesus, you know what my suffering is. Nobody else does. You can help me. And then you can get me ready to leave one of these days. Because Jesus died, didn't he? Paul died, didn't he? Paul could have healed himself, maybe, who knows? Some folks think they can, say they can, I don't know. But it's okay to die, it's okay to get ready. It's okay to glory in suffering, even to death. Because this place is not our home, is it? And then he talks about in verse 11, if by any means, if there's any way, whatever it takes, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We go from his suffering and his resurrection and his death to me and you and I. If by any means, whatever it takes, that I might attain. I looked that word up. Attain means succeed by achieving, or in a spiritual way by being fruitful. We gain, we grow, we get stronger by being fruitful, by being mature. And Paul said, if by any means, whatever it takes, I want to get to the point where I can grab a hold of the resurrection of the dead. He was waiting for it, looking for it, wasn't he? I've talked to people, and so have you. Talked to my daddy right before he left this world. He wasn't going to make it anyway. I said, Daddy, we're going to have to take you off this stuff. And he just smiled and just pointed up. He's with the Lord before I made it to the waiting room. He was, wasn't he? I know I'm going to die. You know you're going to die. You know we're going to meet Jesus, aren't we? But right now in this world, are we like Paul to know the Lord enough that by any means, whatever it takes, I want to be ready. I want to leave this world overcoming. I want to leave this world growing and being stronger. And leaving a testimony. And then in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. He said, I'm not perfect. I'm not better than nobody else. I've not achieved. I've not been completely fruitful yet. I'm still here. I've still got time. I'm not the best I can be. He says, but either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Apprehended. And I like to use the word get a hold of. Paul said, somebody's got a hold on me. And it's the Lord. He's got a hold on us, doesn't he? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The Holy Spirit has sealed us unto. Not until. I like that. Until means it would be over when we got there. Unto means joined together. Now and forever. The Holy Spirit has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Right now and forever, we're joined together. And Paul said, I'm just trying to get a hold of who's got a hold of me. You know this morning that something or someone has a hold on you? Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. What is it? What does it make you do? What's got a hold on you this morning? Is it good? Is it right? Is it the Lord? If the Lord's got a hold on you and you want to know Him more, you want to get a hold of Him more and more and more and more. Church attendance and money and buildings and all these statistics. That's what we're in today. We need to understand that we don't need experiences to try to talk us in or lure us into a faithful life. But when we experience the power of the resurrection, the sufferings, and want to be ready to go, we've got an experience that lasts forever. And experiences are no good no more. Joy in the way the world teaches, that's just not going to hit it, is it? A lot of times we need to examine ourselves instead of being exposed. That's us doing it first. That's not waiting until we get caught and then confessing, is it? When we examine ourselves and find out where we fall short and learn from our mistakes, we're going to keep things in the right order and we're going to grow. Be joined together with each other, not just joined up. God's joined us together, hasn't He? A lot of folks get exposed. A lot of folks get found out. But even then, you can examine that, can't you? I can. I have. And I come to the conclusion that the Lord allowed me to make some mistakes, even in public, to show the world that it's God that judges. It's Jesus that died and rose again. And because of Him, all my sins are on Him. Did you know that? But there's a power this morning that the world can't have, and the church is almost lost, because the power comes from everything except about knowing the Lord. That I may know Him was Paul's goal, his pursuit in life. He had already done everything. He talks about it in the first part of the chapter. Everything he said was just worthless. It was loss compared to living righteous and spiritually in the Lord. But this morning, we're here again, aren't we? And we don't know what's going to happen this week, do we? We don't hear it till after it's over and on the news. We don't get a chance of trying to avoid or stop some things, do we? And the problem that we have is we don't expect bad things to happen. And they do. But there's something even worse than that. Worse than anything else is we don't expect good things because we don't want to know. I mean, there's a chance. I've heard people say, well, I'm not bringing a kid into this world these days and time. What if that's a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary? What if that's somebody God can use? God's never changed, has He? He can do it, can't He? In fact, there's a whole lot of Old Testament scriptures that says some of the people that was in the most worst places came out on top, didn't they? Because they had the order right. They had the growth right. And you know the greatest thing this morning is it's not too late. It's not over. Because we haven't been resurrected yet. Because you have to die first, huh? And that day's coming, isn't it? Soon for some, maybe a while for others. But it's guaranteed, isn't it? And I don't know about you, especially me, I guess. I guess I'm my own example. Our worst enemy, I don't know. But these years that I've preached and pastored have changed me a lot. And the last couple have really changed me. Because the Lord gave me a chance to preach again. And there was a time I didn't really want to. That's a bad confession, isn't it? But it's because I got things out of order. I wasn't really growing. But when I got to know Him more, and when He called on me again, I was ready. And I'm not going to look back. That stuff got a hold of me. Doubt. Has it ever got a hold of you? You ever been troubled? You ever been to the point where you just don't understand why that could ever happen? And what did you do? I've come out of Nissan some days and said, Lord, whatever I did, whoever I did it to, I'm sorry. Please deliver me. But you know, that's just physical, isn't it? A little bit emotional. But eternally speaking this morning, how well do you know the Lord? It's more than just being saved. That's just the beginning, isn't it? And not just saved, but we've got an answer, don't we? And there's people that we could make a big excuse over that don't want to hear it, that maybe don't deserve it, that's done us wrong. But I know some children and grandchildren, they never did anything to me but hug on me and love me and want to come home with you every single time I see them. They need the Lord, don't they? They need to know about the resurrection. They need to know there's a judgment, don't they? They need to know that there's some suffering coming in their life. And believe it or not, it can be put with another word called fellowship and suffering. Because Jesus suffered, didn't he? And they need to know that if they grow and if they're right and if they know the Lord more and more, they're going to be ready to go when it's time. Conformable to his death, his resurrection, his sufferings. And I want to know him. I want to know him more and more and more and more. Because it's getting close, isn't it? And you're here today, God's house, God's people, and you're not saved. I believe most people that come to church and answer an invitation, altar call, whatever you want to call it, it's a surrender, isn't it? It's finally it. It happened to me when I was 11. The Lord saved me. My son was 12. I remember that day better than I do mine. Got to be there when he prayed. Everybody here that's saved, there was a time, wasn't there? I'm not talking about, you know, the date. I used to, when I was a younger preacher, what do you mean you don't know the date? I'm past 60 now. I don't remember a whole lot. You know, that's just the way it is, isn't it? Those days are over. But I knew there was a time as a little boy, God grabbed a hold of me. And all these years later, I'm grabbing a hold of him. I want what's got me. I want to get that more, him more, don't you? And if you're not saved, you need to be saved. It needs to be today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. You need to come. We're going to sing in just a minute. We'll pray and talk and whatever we need to do, even after church, as the Lord draws. We have every opportunity to leave, don't we? You're here and you are saved. We're different as Christians, aren't we? And we need to draw together, don't we? The world don't think like we do. They don't believe like we do. Folks here do. We need prayer, don't we? We need to submit and commit to the Lord. To know him. If you don't know him more than you did when you were saved, why not? What's wrong? That's what needs to be prayed about. Lord, I see. I understand. I don't want to be exposed. I want to examine my whole life and bring it before you, Lord, knowing if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The power comes from the cleansing, doesn't it? And the promise for today. We're fixing to stand. If you'd stand, bow your heads and close your